It's a privilege that you and I are alive this morning. We bless his name. We give him praise. We give him honor. We give him adoration. Hallelujah. Please, if you have your Bible, can you turn me to the book of Acts? The book of Acts. Yes. The book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. The book of Acts of the Apostles. You're going to see something there. The book of Acts, chapter 11. I want to bring out something very, very important from it. Acts chapter 11. Acts 11. Let's see together. Acts 11. Acts 11. Are you from verse 1? Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, both of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised, or you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Verse 4. But Peter explained to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and came to me." Verse 6. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, red beasts, creeping things, and the birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean as nothing, okay, for nothing." But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean as at any time enter my mouth." But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now, this was done 10 times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Verse 11. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simeon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you what by which you and your household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." The theme of my message this morning is salvation is for everybody. Salvation is for Everybody, let us pray. Eternal Rock of Ages, I yield myself unto you. I ask that you will turn these lips of clay to lips of fire, to minister the word with life, with simplicity and accuracy. Lord, I ask that at the end of this message, your name and your name alone shall be glorified. Permanent shame, everlasting confusion, coupled with never ending sorrow, will be in this portion. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That scripture we read, you know, we all read, if you read chapter 10, I don't want to go into chapter 10, but this is the story of Cornelius. This is the story of Cornelius. You know, Cornelius, you know, had a encounter. He had a Bible said that Cornelius happens to be a man, a good man. But he had a revelation, and God had to speak to him to send some people to bring Peter to his house so that he can show him the way of salvation. Now, if Peter had gone there, and the glory of God, the tempter that were there, God baptized. You know, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they were baptized in the Spirit. They were baptized by the Spirit in the life. Praise the Lord. So now when Peter now, you know, the apostles and all the brethren who heard about it. You know, when Peter came to Jerusalem, the Bible says that those of circumcised contended with him. You know why they contended with him? He said, we are the circumcised. Why do you have to go? You are the circumcised. Why do you go to the circumcised? To preach the cook that way. You are even eating and dining with them. And normally they don't supposed to, in Israel, the Jew, they don't, reckon with other people. They pass them as Gentiles. They believe that they are the best, they are the purest. So by making the other type shows that you are not that holy, so to speak. So now, Peter now began to tell them that it's not something that he planned for, but that he was in Joppa, when the word of God, when some people came to him, that was sent from Cornelius. And before that time, Peter said to them that he had seen revelation. The revelation was that something like a sheep came from heaven, and in that sheep there were creatures, wildlife animals, and other creeping things, and the voice of the air were there. And the voice came and said that, Peter, take, kill and eat. No, kill and eat. No, in other words, God is telling him that take these fools, kill them and eat. But nobody said that, God, you know, because there are some animals that have been counted as unclean animals. So as for Peter said that, you know that since I am not someone that used to, since I was born, I have never tasted anything that is unclean. Anything unclean has never come to my mouth. God said to him three times, Peter, kill and eat. And this time around, he knew quite well that this was God that was speaking. And at the end of the day, Peter, the vision, you know, just went on like that. Vision just vanished from him. Now, so those some men were sent to his house. When they came, they said that we are from Cornelius, and Peter had told them to follow them. And when Peter got here, he preached the good news there. And in the glory of God, His Holy Spirit fell upon the
Gentiles, and they were baptized. Peter now said that who is he that it will stand God? No, but normally, Holy Spirit, you know, they thought as for this circumstance, they thought that Holy Spirit is only for them. That salvation is only for them. They never knew that God also had planned for the Gentiles. God, see, when we talk about salvation, salvation is not for some group of people, or for some tribe, or for some races or colors. Salvation is for everybody. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus never died for a particular continent. Jesus never died for some group of people. He died for everyone. He died for all and sundry. He died for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is a lamb that was slain for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of everybody. Those who are yet to be unborn, God Christ has died for them some 2,000 years ago. So now, Peter man began to tell them that who is he that he could withstand God? When God had promised that he said that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, not selected few, but upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. I want to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I'm not pouring my spirit upon some selected few. As many that come to me, Bible says that whosoever come upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These people, they repented of their sin. You know, they were cut to the heart, and they knew that it was only Jesus that had saved them back then, and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They called upon the name of the Lord, and they were saved. And these people now, who are the circumcised, are now withstanding the plan of God. And Peter said that who is me to withstand the plan of God? Who is me to withstand God? Listen to me, a lot of us can still make the same mistake that these circumcised people made. We can begin to say, well, salvation is not for people, it's not for people like Adams, it's not for prostitutes, it's not for armed robbers. Listen to me. The worst of us sinners, God still wants the worst of us sinners in the world today to come to Him. That's why it says that whosoever come upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever come upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So salvation is for everybody. Thank God, Peter was sensitive enough to know that I need to follow these people. Peter can hear the word of God and still withstand God and say, well, I'm not going to follow them. But he never did that. He followed them. Thank God that God used this man to carry the gospel right into the Gentiles. Thank God that he followed this group of men to the house of Cornelius. And a lot of people got baptized and they were saved. So, what Peter did, God still wants us to do the same. The Spirit of God can begin to speak to you to go to a particular place and bring the good news. You say, well, I'm not familiar with that area. I'm not familiar. You know, a lot of us, we want to go to where we like or where we are familiar with. God can tell you to go to some unfamiliar places to go and share the good news. God can prompt you to go to pretty good news, very close. God can prompt you to go to the Judea. If I'm telling you to pretty good news, I'm telling you. And you begin to say, well, your heart, and Lord, you know that you know me, God. You know where I used to go. I don't use to go to
such places to preach.
God know that I've never gone to prepare all my life. Why should I go to?
This was, I mean, what that was saying, you know, he said the same thing. He said, Lord, you knew that I don't used to be.
His voice would know now.
Me, as for me, I don't used to touch anything or drink, let alone eating them. But God said, go. Who can take something that is that looks so or sounds so ridiculous for him to show the glory? But you need to obey him. You need to obey him. You don't have to say, well, God, you know, I'm too sanctified. I'm too holy to go to him. Like Peter, the Spirit of God is prompting many of us to reach out to some places that many people call on him. God knew that when we get there, the lives of those which, I mean, is going to transform for his glory. But if we are still getting familiar with places that we know that, well, this is the place I'm familiar with, this terrain. This is the terrain I'm familiar with. I can only go there to preach. Then it means that we are so naive. It means that we are baby. We are not mature. It means that we are limiting God to a particular set of people. God can begin to tell so many things. Reach out, don't withstand his word. Like Peter, obey. And because let me tell you, well, salvation is for everybody. Salvation is for everyone. From today, have it at the back of your mind that you will reach out to souls. It doesn't matter whether they are black or white. It doesn't matter whether they are criminals. God wants everybody to come to him. As long as they are still alive, they can still repent. Praise the Lord. Salvation is for those who are still alive. Whether they are armed robbers, whether they are criminals, whether they are prostitutes. As long as they are still alive, they can still be saved. They can still be saved. So, let's begin to reach out to him. Don't let us stay put at our comfort zone and say, well, we are not going to reach out. When we do that, God will not be pleased with us. So from today, let's reach out to souls. Wherever God is sending you to go, please, don't disobey him. He can tell to go to any continent of the world to minister the word of God. He can tell you to go to some nations where prostitution is the order of the day. He can tell you to go to some society that is highly corrupt session. But we need to say, well, God, you know me very well. I don't need to go to this type of city. This city is a city of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't want to go here. But God can tell you to go there because he has given you that grace to transform that city. But you are saying in your heart that I don't need to go to this type of places. In fact, I cannot discuss with this type of people. You know that I'm a holy man. I'm a holy woman. I don't need to near this type of place. I can't go to Budel. If people see me around Budel, they sort. Many of them will begin to think that maybe I'm there to transfer business with those prostitutes.
But God is saying, go, 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 go. He can tell you to go to the prison to preach. Ah, you don't know, in the prison. I can never go to prison. For what? I will never go there. But God is saying, go, go. I was sensing in my spirit that God is going to send some of us to some places that we are not familiar with. And when God is doing this, we need to be sensitive. Peter was never familiar with the Gentiles. But God said to him, I want to familiarize with them so that they can be saved. Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Are you getting me? Jesus happens to be the friend of sinners. He will go to them, he will dine with them, but he was never corrupted. He didn't allow them to corrupt him. We can, if you want to transform this world, if you want to transform the people of this world, we can't stay in isolation. We can't say, well, let me just begin to pray for them. Lord, if they are your people, they need people. If they need, God said, they need, I mean, we have to be sent. God has sent us. Go into all loose and pray for the world. Go into the world and make disciples. In case you don't know, we have made a disciple. You and I, we are disciples of the people of the world. They need to know. The untold people need to be told. Bible says that multitude in the valley of decision. The judgment of God is near in the valley of decision. Multitude of people are here. In all the nations of the world. One day I was watching a particular video. Can you imagine? I saw people poking a sword into their eyes. It's a kind of festival in a particular country of the world. Some of them are celebrating what they're supposed to celebrate, the only festival. You know, they were worshiping among God. We need to tell them that there is a God that can save them. But if we are just praying for them, and we are just staying in isolation, we are not ready to be close to them, we are not ready to to familiarize ourselves with them. If need be, there is a need for us to eat their food. Even if we are going to vomit there, you still have to familiarize with them. I remember some times ago, we went to a particular place to preach good news. In this place, they have to give you, when they give you water, you don't give them water. It shows that you don't really love them. You know what? I have to drink part of the water. Even the container, the cup or something that they gave to me to drink that water. I smell alcoholic drink. Maybe they use it to drink alcohol before that time, but I still have to drink the water there. But it's like maybe they don't wash very well. I still smell alcohol there. But I still drank it. But those people gave their life to Jesus. Because when they saw me as someone who really accepted them for who they really are, and for who they were at that time, and they were able to, when I was preaching to them, they listened to me with great attention, and they were saved. So God wants us to reach out to souls. You know, thank God that I know that if God doesn't send angel to Peter will not go there. I pray. Peter, I know, will not go there, I'm telling you. But God has to promise him, Peter, you have to do this. 3 times. Eat. What have I? Listen to me. God is the owner of the souls of human beings. when God said that as for these people, they are my people. Though they may be serving Satan, but they are still God's people, because Satan doesn't own their soul. The owner of their soul, in the recent, is God. Those who are worshiping or not God, the owner of their soul is God. Devil cannot create them. Devil was not the one, you know, that created them. No, God created them in His own image. And when you want to save them, He can save them anyhow. So please, let's emulate Peter. Let's listen to the Spirit of God. Let's hear what He said to us. The whole world has been engulfed with fire of worldliness, fire of ungodliness. We need to bring that fire with the goodness of our Lord Jesus. The Bible says that God sent forth His word, and His word healed them, and His word delivered them from all their destruction. They need to hear the word of God so that they will not be eternally destroyed. It's a privilege that you and I were able to come to the Savior name of Jesus. Listen to me, before you condemn those people, just as they know that because they don't have Jesus in their hearts, if they have Jesus, they will have done better, they will have behaved better. But because they don't have Jesus, that's why they are misbehaving, that's why they are doing all kinds of things. Praise the Lord. When God was talking to Jonah, He said that he should go to Nineveh, because the people of Nineveh, they didn't know their letter, right? They are so naive. It was because they don't know anything. They were so naive. They are living in their ignorance. In fact, in case you don't know, unbelievers are living in ignorance. I'm telling you. They are living in ignorance. If they know what they are doing, I mean, they will not just behave the way they are behaving today. That was why when the man was on the cross, He said that, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Unbelievers don't know what they are doing. They may be, the fact that they have PhD, the fact that they, many of them are professors, doesn't mean that they know what they are doing. He said that, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." We should know that the unbelievers, they don't know what they are doing. That's why we need to have compassion on them. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God never wants us to be condemning them. He doesn't want us to be guilty, we are sin upon them. But He wants us to bring the word of transformation to them. He wants us to transform the world. He wants us to make the world a better place through the good news, through the gospel. That is why what you have in your hand is so powerful. It's greater than international ballistic missiles. It can transform by the gospel. And we should not be ashamed of it. I was also saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. Amen. With this power of God, we can transform the world.
Hallelujah.
With this power of God, we can transform the world.
Hallelujah.
With this power of God, I'm talking about the gospel. We can transform the world. We don't need God to transform the world. We don't need violence. All we need is the word of God. Bible says that God sent forth His word, and His word healed them, and His word delivered them from their destruction. The Bible says that it's not my word like fire and like armor that break